The king and the queen are walking in their palace. The king's name is King Ferdinand II. Not the first. King Ferdinand I was a different King Ferdinand. This is King Ferdinand II. And his wife, it does not say her name, she was the queen, and she says, Ferdinand, I don't think she said Ferdinand II, or maybe she called him Ferdy, or maybe she called him King. Whatever she called him, she says, I like our palace, but the walls, there's not enough things hanging on the walls. Other kings and queens on their walls have beautiful paintings, and they have beautiful tapestries. Now, you know what tapestries are, don't you? What are tapestries? You go to the bakery, and over there is donuts and bagels and tapestries? No, that's pastries. Tapestries are like beautiful pictures, but like curtains. And it's made from material with beautiful pictures and designs. Tapestries. Not pastries. They're not going to hang up pastries on the wall of their palace. Queen says, King, or Ferdinand, or Ferdy, could we buy also beautiful paintings and tapestries and works of art so we'll have a beautiful palace? And the king says, Queen, you know that I would love to buy you beautiful things, but the times are very difficult. We're in the middle of a big war. It's called the 30 Years' War. And there's just not enough money for things like that. All the money I need, I have to go and pay the army for fighting the war. And I even have to borrow money, you know, so it's very difficult. Oh, please, please, we have to have nice stuff on our walls, or else the other kings and queens are going to have nicer palaces than us, and I won't be happy in our palace. Please, can we buy things for our walls? Well, of course, Ferdinand couldn't stand when she's complaining over and over again. And drinking a cup, he says, okay, well, let's buy some nice things. You go shopping in the places that have the nice things and buy things for the palace. And of course, they'll send me the bill. And the queen goes shopping. And she goes around the different art dealers and places where they sell beautiful works of art of gold and silver and tapestries. And she buys wagon loads and wagon loads of beautiful things. And her workers and servants start hanging them all over the palace. And she also bought... Actually, no. The most expensive thing they had in the palace was not something they bought then. It's something that was hanging in the palace for a long, long time. And these were the golden curtains. These were curtains that were made mostly of gold, and there was some different kinds of material. You could not buy these in any store for any price. These were so expensive, they're called priceless. They were hanging in the beautiful royal room of the thrones, where the king sat on his throne, and the queen sat on her throne. One day, after all the beautiful things were hanging on the walls, and the queen was so happy, King Ferdinand and the queen are walking down the halls of the beautiful royal palace, and all of a sudden the queen says, "Ah! Look, Ferdinand, that painting, it's peeling. The paint is cracking." Ferdinand says, "Well, maybe it was a cheap painting and it's no good." "No, that's an expensive painting." And all of a sudden she looks at the wall across. She says, "Look at that painting. It's a beautiful painting, but the paint is cracking. The man's nose is coming off. Oh, what's happening? Our beautiful paintings are getting cracked." And then she walks over to a tapestry. and the material of the tapestry is becoming unraveled. It's coming apart. The strings are coming apart. The tapestry is falling apart. And it looks like a shmata. Oh, what's wrong? Something terrible is happening. And the King Ferdinand says, I will call their expert of art. There's a man who is an expert of art, and he will tell us what's wrong. They called the expert of art who knows all about paintings and tapestries, and if there's any problem, he also knows what the problem is all about. And he comes before the queen, and she starts to cry. The paintings are cracking! The tapestries are coming apart! Noses are cracking off of paintings! And the royal expert goes over, and he looks, and he says, shh, this is the problem. In the palace, it's warm, because outside, it's the warm weather. And the warm weather and the air that's kind of wet comes in the palace, and it goes into the paint of the paintings and the material of the tapestries, and it's no good for the paintings and the tapestries. It makes them to be falling apart and cracking. And the king says, what can we do? We can't change the weather. And we don't have air conditioning. There was no such thing in those days as air conditioning. So what are we going to do? The expert says, I'll tell you what you have to do in order to take care of the paintings and the tapestries. Shh. When the warm weather comes, you have to take everything off the walls. You have to pack it away in boxes and put it in the basement of the palace, because down there it's cold under the ground. And the queen says, but nothing will be on the walls. Nothing will be on the walls. Wait a minute, the expert says. Only during the summertime and the hot time, then you will have nothing on the walls. But when the winter time comes, you could unpack all of your beautiful paintings and tapestries and hang them up for the whole winter. That way you'll have them during the winter, but you cannot have them during the summer, because otherwise they fall apart. Oh, what will people say when they come to the palace? And the expert says, whoever has beautiful paintings, they do the same thing. If they come to the palace and they say, you have paintings up in the palace, they'll say, eh, the paintings are cheap. But if you have good paintings, they come to the palace and they say, look, the paintings are so good in this palace, they don't even have them on the wall. They must be in the basement. That's a sign of a good palace. And they'll ask you, are your paintings in the basement? You'll say, yes. Oh, they'll be very impressed. You have such good paintings, you can't even see them on the walls. They're in the basement. Like some people have furniture, it's so good, you can't sit on it, it's all covered up. Or even in the room the furniture is in, it's such a good room, you can never go inside. And the queen says, okay, that's what we'll do. And so the queen says to the king, that's what we should do, that's what we should do. Okay, the king says, I will make one of my officers in charge of this whole thing. Rudolph, come here. Now, the king's main officer was named Rudolph. And he says, Rudolph, you are now in charge of this new project. Yes, king. Get boxes. You better get locks, better get keys, and many, many boxes. You're going to put away the paintings and the tapestries, the works of art, and you're going to lock them up in the basement for the warm weather, and you will take them out in the cold weather. Yes, king. Now, of course, Rudolph doesn't want to do that whole thing himself, so he has other officers that he could boss around. And Rudolph starts screaming, Haradek! Haradek! Now, Rudolph had a main officer that worked for him, or you might call him a schlepper that does all the stuff that Rudolf doesn't want to do. And his name was Haradake. And he says, Haradake, this is what we have to do. Okay, Haradake doesn't want to do the whole thing himself. So he gets a whole bunch of servants. And they go out shopping. And they get boxes and they get locks. And they bring them to the palace. And Rudolf now is yelling at everybody, okay, carefully take down this painting and put it into a box. And look, they take down the painting, put it into a box. They put a lock on the box. Okay, Rudolf says, give me the key. They give the key to Rudolf. He puts it on a big keychain. And he numbers it, box number one, key number one. Or else he's going to get mixed up and have a big mess on his hands. Okay, here's a beautiful tapestry. Take it carefully down. And the officers who are in charge of that, or the schleppers or the servants, I mean, it's not Rudolf Haradek, they don't want to work so hard. They take down the tapestry, they roll it up, they put it carefully in a box, put a lock on it. Okay, number two. And this is what they do throughout the whole palace. And then they came to the beautiful golden curtains. Did I tell you about those beautiful golden curtains? They were worth more than all of the beautiful paintings and tapestries all put together. They were so expensive and so precious. And they carefully take down the beautiful golden curtains that were hung in the room of the thrones. And they put them in a special box and took out a special key with a lock. Locked up the box. And now the keychain of all the keys was complete. And Rudolf now took the keychain and he hung it up in the officer's room. There was an officer's room. And now all the schleppers and servants carried the boxes down the long stairs that go under the palace. And it's cold. Very cold down there. Just like an air conditioner the whole time, even in the summertime. And they locked everything up. And they stayed down there the whole summer. And when the winter came and the snow and the freezing cold weather, they took it all up the stairs, unpacked it, unlocked it, and hung it up back on the walls and put back the beautiful curtains. And that was like a big holiday, a big yontif in the palace. And the queen was so happy, and she would go for a walk with the king, Ferdinand, through the palace and looking at all the nice, beautiful paintings. And of course, they were in perfect condition. Until one time it happened a little bit different. And that's, of course, what the whole story is about. Before we tell you that very important part of this story, let's go to the officer's room where the keys are hanging. Well, what are we going to do in that room? Look at a bunch of keys? Well, by a table is Haradake. Next to Haradake is a big bottle of Mashke. But the bottle of Mashke is mostly empty. A little while ago, it was full. Now it's mostly empty. Can you guess where most of that Mashke went?
Into his stomach.
Into his tummy. That's right. Haradake thinks that Mashke is yummy. And that's why he said that most of the Mashke went into his tummy. Oh, yes. Haradake likes to drink Mashke. Oh, yes. Now, sitting around the table are other officers who have nothing else to do for a while. So what are they going to do? Well, they all sit around the table, and they also have bottles of Mashke. Not as big as Haradake's, because Haradake liked to drink more than that, but they also had their bottles of Mashke. Also on the table were a bunch of cards. Cards. You know what kind of cards these were? Gambling cards. What is gambling? What's that? Gambling. Is that what a turkey does? Oh, that's gobbling. What is gambling? Who could tell me what gambling is? It's not a good thing to gamble.
Betting.
It's not gobbling, we said. It's gambling. What is gambling? What is that?
If you play a game and the officers, if they win, they get a lot of money.
That's right. Playing a game for money could be gambling, especially playing cards for money. And as usual, Haradek is shikar, he's drunk. And as usual, Haradek is losing money, gambling. And all of a sudden, Rudolph comes in. Haradek, drinking again, gambling again, losing money again. I'm losing money. And the other officers say, you have to pay. I'll pay you tomorrow. How come you always say pay you tomorrow? Because I have to go and borrow the money to pay. I don't have money to pay. I have to go borrow it. Well, where do you go borrow the money? Well, I have my people that I go to borrow money. It's none of your business. It's just as long as I pay you what I owe because you're winning me. Then they say, Rudolph says, Haradek, if you always lose money and you have to go borrow money, how do you pay it back? Oh, that's a different story. Paying back. First I borrow. Paying back is a little bit different story. I can't explain everything. I have to go on playing the cards. Maybe I'll win something. Well, this is how it went with Haradek. Do you understand what kind of a person this Haradek was? Okay. Why did I tell you this? To embarrass poor Haradek? No. You just have to understand what is going on behind the scenes, as they say, in storytelling stuff. Okay, now boys, one time, this is what happened. It came the winter time, and the queen says to King Ferdinand, oh, it's so wonderful. Pretty soon, it's going to be the day that Rudolph and Haradek take out all the beautiful paintings and tapestries, works of art, and of course, the beautiful golden curtains. And Rudolph says, my queen, we just got an invitation to go away on a special trip to visit some very important people. Another king and queen in a different palace. And we'll be away for a week or two. Would you like to go on the trip? Oh, yes, I would. Well, what about the special day of all the paintings to be hung up in the palace? I don't want to miss that. Well, queen, look. We'll go away on the trip. And while we're away, Rudolph and Haradek will hang up all the beautiful things. And the day you come back from the trip, everything will already be up. And that day will be the special day. Oh, that's wonderful. We'll go on a trip, and the day we'll come back, everything will already be there. And we'll make this special holiday on that day. That's a wonderful thing. And we'll also have a nice trip. Okay, the king and the queen went in the royal wagon. They blew the trumpets, of course, and they left the palace. And before they left, the king says to Rudolph, make sure the day we come back, everything is beautifully hanged up on the walls so that the queen will have her special happy day the day we come back. And of course, Rudolph says, yes, king, yes, king. And they leave, and now Rudolph is screaming for Haradek to come and all the servants and schleppers to get busy because it's a big job. All right, tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue. I'm very proud of the boy who told me that. It means he was listening. He must have been listening better than me because I don't even remember what I said, and he does. Maybe he shall tell the story, and I'll sit down and eat the falafel. The king and the queen left the palace to go on their trip. And the queen, of course, was very happy for two reasons. Number one, she's going on the trip, And number two, when she comes back, the palace will be beautiful with all the paintings and tapestries and works of art and, of course, the golden curtains. And that's a big holiday, and that day will be a special holiday. And she will take a walk with her King Ferdinand II and see how beautiful all the things are in the palace. And now, of course, Rudolph, who's in charge of putting up all the beautiful things, he goes around to get all of the servants and all of the officers and all of the schleppers and all the people that have to do all the things. And he makes a big meeting, a gathering, and he says, okay, let's get busy, that by the time the queen comes back, the palace will be beautiful. And he takes the keys and he goes down now and he opens up the big special place where all of the boxes are. It has its own lock. And he says, okay, servants, pick up the boxes and schlep them up the stairs. We have to open up the boxes. And they start schlepping up the boxes up the stairs from the basement of the palace. And they bring them now, and they're all numbered. And, of course, they have the keys, and they open up the locks. And they take out the beautiful paintings, and they hang them on the walls. And they have to be perfectly straight. And Rudolph is standing on the floor, and the servants are climbing up on ladders. And he says, it's got to be straight, and make it this way, and make it that way. And everything's getting hanged up and beautiful. And the tapestries are being unrolled and unraveled and hanged up. Actually, only unrolled, not unraveled, because they didn't get unraveled. They only got unrolled because nothing happened to them in the basement. Now they bring up the big box of the golden curtains. Usually it took quite a few servants to lift up that box, but this time only a few servants were carrying the box. And Rudolph says, that's strange. How could you be so strong to lift up the box of the golden curtains, only a few servants? And they said, it's not so heavy, Rudolph. What? What do you mean it's not so heavy? Those are so heavy. They're full of gold. Put it down. And Rudolph takes the key to open up the big box of the golden curtains. And they are now by the room of the thrones of the king and the queen. They're empty now, of course, because the king and the queen have left. Except maybe a few servants went up there, you know, to see what's going on by the thrones. They don't get too close if the king and queen are over there. And Rudolph opens up the lock, and he opens up the box, and all of a sudden, the curtains, they're gone. The curtains, the golden, priceless, beautiful curtains are gone. Where are they? And Rudolph starts screaming, Haradek, Haradek, emergency, come here. The curtains, they're gone. Oh, that's terrible, says Haradek. And all of a sudden, Rudolph realizes the curtains have been stolen or taken. They're gone. And who do you think is responsible when the king and the queen come back, if the curtains are there or not? Who do you think is responsible, and he's going to get in gigantic trouble if the curtains are not there? Who do you think?
Rudolph.
Rudolph. Oh boy, Rudolph is scared. The curtains are gone. And he starts screaming, if you don't find the curtains, by the time the king and the queen come back, we're in gigantic trouble. They said, you're in gigantic trouble, Rudolph. He says, I'm going to make sure you're all punished. Now find the curtains. Let's go. Look all over the palace. Well, they look all over the palace, and nobody could find any golden curtains. They're big. It's hard to miss. They're just not behind a chair or something. And now Rudolph says, we have to find the golden curtains before the king and the queen come back. And all of a sudden, Haradek says, Rudolph, may I make a suggestion? Yes. Why don't you look in the whole city of the palace? Now, that, of course, happened to be the city of Prague. And Haradek says, whoever took those curtains is not going to leave them around the palace. And who knows if it was somebody from the inside or somebody from the outside. Why would a person take those golden curtains? To hang them up in their own house? A person wouldn't hang them up in their own house because somebody would see them and they would know that they're the golden curtains of the king and the queen, and that person would get in trouble. Probably they're hidden somewhere, and the person took those curtains probably to sell them to get money. And Rudolph says, so where are we going to find those curtains? And Haranek says, well, whoever stole those curtains will probably bring them to a rich person, because a rich person, they'll have the money to buy such curtains. Well, where are we going to find rich people? Well, there are such rich people, but I'll tell you, in the Jewish neighborhood are rich Jews. And in fact, some of them have big stores, and they make a lot of money. Doesn't the king always borrow money, especially from the Jews, because they have a lot of money? Maybe, Rudolph, if you're smart, of course I'm smart, Rudolph says, what do you think? Okay, why don't you make a big search of the city, especially the Jewish neighborhood, especially the stores of the rich Jews, because maybe one of those rich Jews figure out a way to get for himself the curtains, and he probably paid somebody a lot of money for those curtains. So wouldn't it be smart to search by the Jewish neighborhood? And Haradek has this funny look in his face and this tricky look in his eyes. But Rudolph didn't care what kind of a look in his face he has or look in his eyes. So why am I telling you? Because we care, don't we? But Rudolph didn't care. All he wants to do is get back the curtains. And he starts screaming at all the officers, okay, there's going to be a big search, and bring all the soldiers and all the police and the chief of police and make a search of the entire city, especially the Jewish neighborhood. And the trumpets blew, and all the army and all of the soldiers got together and they went to get all the police. And Rudolph is now screaming, let's start the search. And now they're going to the Jewish neighborhood. And they're going now, especially to the Jews who had the stores. And the biggest store over there, as Haradek points out, there's a big store. Look what it says. The store of Reb Chanoich Altshul. Yeah, that's a big store. He's a rich man. Go and search in that store. The store of Reb Chanoich Altshul. Now, Reb Chanoich Altshul was a very rich man. He was also a big Talmud Chochem. Do you know who he used to learn with? Who was his Rebbe? The Rebbe of Reb Chanoich Altshul. You know who it was?
The Maharal.
The Maharal of Prague. As we all know who the Maharal was. The Maharal had already passed away. He had already gone to Gan Eden. One of his students was Reb Chanoich Altshul, who is now himself an elderly Yid, and a big Talmud Chochem, and a big Gvir, a rich man, and he gave a lot of tzedakah. And he used to also lend money to the king, and he still lent money to the king. He was a very rich man. And now they go into his store, and they start looking and turning stuff over and smashing things and opening up everything. And Reb Chanoich Altshul was in the store, and he says, what's going on? Why are all these soldiers coming into my store and officers? What is the problem? And they say, the golden curtains of the king and the queen have been stolen. And we're looking everywhere for those golden curtains, and everybody must show us all the different places. Show us every place in the store. And Reb Chanoich Altshul shows them all the places in the store. And they say, what are those stairs over there? Where do they go? They go to the basement. Okay, let's go to the basement. And the soldiers and the police are going down the basement. And they have their torches to show them the way. And all of a sudden, in the end of the basement, they see a big pile of something covered over with something else, big blankets. They say, what's over there? And Reb Chanoich Altshul is quiet. What's over there? They say, we're not going to wait for him to say anything. Let's go see what it is. And they lift up the covers, and all of a sudden, do you know what they find under the covers in the corner of the basement of Reb Chaim Halschel's store? What's over there?
Golden curtains.
The golden curtains. How did you know? Did you take them over there? And he figured it out. The golden curtains of the King Ferdinand II and the Queen were in the store.